Mishnah Beis. Omar Beliezer said, in order to prove his point and to prove his opinion that it does override Shabbos, v'halei dinhu, surely it's a din. A din in general in Mishnayos terminology usually refers to a kal v'chomer, an argument of all the more so. Ma im shechita shi mishum melacha, if slaughtering of an animal, which is forbidden generally on Shabbos mid oraisa, yet when it comes to the Korban Pesach toches haShabbos, it overrides Shabbos and you're allowed to perform that prohibition mid oraisa. So elu shemishum shavus, these actions, such as cutting the wart off the animal without using a special tool or something, which is only forbidden mishum shavus because of a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos, so all the more so leidches haShabbos, should they not all the more so override Shabbos? If you can perform something which is generally forbidden mid oraisa, then all the more so you should be able to perform something which is generally forbidden only mid rabbanon. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua replied to him, Yom Tov Yechiach. A regular festival, a regular Yom Tov, will prove that your argument is not correct. The only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that on Yom Tov, one is permitted to prepare things for the sake of food. Oichel Nefesh. Even if things are generally forbidden on Shabbos, even mid Oraisa, on Yom Tov you're allowed to do them if it's for the sake of food. Yet, on the other hand, all of the other rabbinic prohibitions which apply on Shabbos, which have not got to do with food, equally apply on Yom Tov. So we see that on Yom Tov we have a very similar idea. Shehetiru bei mishum halacha, that certain things which are generally forbidden mid oraisa on Shabbos are permitted totally on Yom Tov, yet still ba'asu bei mishum shavus. Things which are generally forbidden mid rabbanon on Shabbos are still forbidden on Yom Tov. So you see that things which are generally forbidden mid Rabbanon are forbidden on Yom Tov, and yet we do permit certain things which are forbidden mid Oraisa in general. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yeshua, Mazi Yeshua? What is this Yeshua? That's not a proof at all. The reason why in Yom Tov it is still forbidden to do those things mid Rabbanon is because it has nothing to do with a mitzvah. So of course it's still forbidden, there's no reason to permit it over here. There's a special pasuk which teaches us that things which are for the sake of food are permitted. But that won't teach us about every midrabbanon prohibition, that it should suddenly also be permitted. There's no mitzvah there in order to permit the rabbinic prohibitions. However, with regards to our case of Korban Pesach, I am suggesting that the mitzvah should override the rabbinic prohibitions. So what are you saying, Rabbi Yeshua? Ma raya reshus la mitzvah? What proof are you bringing from something which is optional and not a mitzvah to this case which is a mitzvah? In my case of the Korban Pesach where it is a mitzvah, there is more of a reason to say that it does override the rabbinic prohibitions. So I agree that on Yom Tov it's forbidden to do the rabbinic prohibitions, but when it comes to the Korban Pesach, it should override the rabbinic prohibitions. Now, Rabbi Akiva answered to Rabbi Eliezer, I've got another proof that you're wrong. I've got a proof that even in a case of a mitzvah, one cannot violate the rabbinic prohibitions, and that proof is that Hazar Teichiach, the sprinkling of the Parah Adumah solution, will prove you wrong. When somebody becomes Tomei from a dead body, he needs to go through a 7-day purification process, where on the 3rd and 7th day, he is sprinkled with a solution of water and ashes of a Parah Adumah. And once he's done that, then on the 7th day after doing so, he can go to the mikveh, purify himself there, and then by nightfall, he will be Tohar once more. Now, if somebody's 7th day falls on Erev Pesach, so they need to, it's a mitzvah for them, it's really an obligation for them to become tohar on that day, so that they'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach that night on the first night of Pesach. Now, if that 7th day, Erev Pesach, falls on a Shabbos, then he will need to do this purification process with the Parah Adumah on Shabbos. Now, midrabbanon, it is forbidden to sprinkle the ashes of a Parah Adumah on somebody on Shabbos, since that allows him to become pure again. It's like fixing, and it's forbidden midrabbanon to fix things, or even people in this case, on Shabbos. So that is generally a prohibition midrabbanon. However, in a case where it's a mitzvah, for example, if the 7th day falls on Pesach, then I might think that the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Pesach, being able to eat the Korban Pesach that night, should override this rabbinic prohibition. Yet Rabbi Akiva says that I heard from my Rebbe, who is actually Rabbi Eliezer himself, then in that case it does not override the Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva is going to prove from Rabbi Eliezer's words himself that so too in our case of a Korban Pesach, of cutting the wound off the animal, even though it's a mitzvah in this case, it should not override the rabbinic prohibition of Shabbos. So Hazar Teichiach, the sprinkling of these Parah Adumah solution on the 7th day which falls on an Erev Pesach which falls on Shabbos, that should prove the point, Shehi Mitzvah, because that is a mitzvah, so that he'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach that night, because if he is still tummy that night, then he cannot eat the Korban Pesach. Vehi mishum shavus, and sprinkling the ashes of the Parah Adumah is forbidden midrabbanon in general. And here too, ve'eino doches haShabbos, it does not override the Shabbos. And I heard this from you, Rabbi Eliezer, yourself. Af atal tismal elu, so don't wonder and don't not understand this case as well, which you're talking about cutting the wound off the animal. Sha'afal pishem mitzvah, because even though it does involve a mitzvah, the hamishum shavus, and it's only forbidden generally midrabanan, layetuas haShabbos, it will still not override the Shabbos, as we see in the other case. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer said back to Rabbi Akiva, v'aleha anidan, I'm going to make the exact same kavol chomer on that case. If slaughtering the Korban Pesach, which is generally forbidden midrash on Shabbos, nevertheless in this case overrides the Shabbos, then hazah, sprinkling the ashes of the Parah Adumah on somebody, shehimishum shavus, which is generally only forbidden midrabanan on Shabbos, in a din shadoches haShabbos, is it not all the more so kal vachomer that it should override the Shabbos? Exactly the same kal vachomer as I said in the case of cutting the wound off the animal, or the other cases in the previous Mishnah, which are forbidden midrabanan in general. So too in this case of sprinkling the ashes onto the Parah Adumah. Now, of course, this does contradict what Rabbi Akiva heard from Rabbi Eliezer. And because of that, Rabbi Akiva applied something to Rabbi Eliezer, which at first glance doesn't really make much sense. He does not make a good argument to Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara explains that he was making a not good argument to show Rabbi Eliezer, to sort of remind him that he said differently at an earlier date. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said back to Rabbi Eliezer, a chiluf. Or maybe let's say the opposite. We could say, Mayim hazar shimushum shavus. If the sprinkling of the Parah Adumah ashes, which is only forbidden midrabanan, ein doches haShabbos, does not override the Shabbos, then shechita, slaughtering the Korban Pesach, shemishum alacha, which is generally forbidden midoraisa, to slaughter things on Shabbos, ein din shelo titches haShabbos, is it not kavol chomer all the more so that it should not override the Shabbos? So Rabbi Akiva is making an argument that nothing to do with the Korban Pesach should override the Shabbos. And on that, Omer Rabbi Eliezer said back to him, Akiva, kait mash kosu b'Torah. You've uprooted a pasuk in the Torah, which says that ben harbayim b'moyadoi, that on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, in its time, you should bring the Korban Pesach. And we learn from there, b'machol b'mashabbos, whether the 14th falls on a weekday or even if it falls on a Shabbos, that the bringing of the Korban Pesach, anything which you couldn't have done before that day, overrides the Shabbos. So of course the slaughtering overrides the Shabbos. So what argument are you making? But of course, as we explained, Rabbi Akiva didn't actually mean this argument seriously. He was only trying to express to Rabbi Eliezer, without telling him to his face, that his two rulings contradicted one another. Be it as it may, now Rabbi Akiva says his main point and explains why he argues on Rabbi Eliezer. Omar Loi, Rabbi Akiva said back to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi, my teacher, Hove li moed lo elu ka moed la shechita. Bring me, show me a fixed time for these actions, like the fixed time for the slaughtering. Meaning, as Rabbi Akiva now explains, Kalam Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said a rule, Kol melocha she'ef shalasis m'erev Shabbos. Any melocha, any Shabbos violation, which could have been done before Shabbos came in, ein doches haShabbos, it does not override the Shabbos, even if it's for the sake of a Korban Pesach. But shechita, the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, she'ir shalasis m'erev Shabbos, which is impossible to do before Shabbos came in, because the Torah says that it has to be slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan. So that doches haShabbos. That does override the Shabbos, because the pasuk which says that the Korban Pesach is brought b'moyadoi, in its time, only applies to the parts of the Korban Pesach which have to be done in a very fixed time, on that day itself. But anything which could have been done before, or which could be done afterwards, it is not part of this teaching from the word b'moyadoi, and it therefore cannot be done on Shabbos.